Our placement of the remote mouth isn't so precise yet. I'm afraid our Australian colleagues have to chase our wormhole mouths through the dust out there. Chasing fissures over the gibbers, as they put it. But still, now we can open up a wormhole to anywhere. What we don't know yet is whether we're going to be able to expand the holes up to visible light dimensions. Bobby was leaning easily against a table, legs crossed, looking fit and relaxed, as if he'd just come off a tennis court. As perhaps he had, mused David. I think we ought to give David a lot of credit, Dad. After all, he has solved half the problem already.
Yes, Hiram said. But I don't see anything but gamma rays squirted in by some broken-nosed Aussie. Unless we can find a way to expand these bloody things, we're wasting my money. And I can't stomach all this waiting. Why just one test run a day?
Because, said David evenly, we have to analyze the results from each test, strip down the Casimir gear, reset the control equipment and detectors. We have to understand each failure before we can go ahead toward success. That is, he added silently, before I can extricate myself from this complex family entanglement and return to the comparative calm of Oxford, funding battles, ferocious academic rivalry and all. Bobby asked, what exactly is it we're looking for? What will a wormhole mouth look like?
I can answer that one, Hiram said, still pacing. I grew up with enough bad pop science shows. A wormhole is a shortcut through a fourth dimension. You have to cut a chunk out of our three-dimensional space and join it onto another such chunk over in Brisbane.
Bobby raised an eyebrow at David. David said carefully,
it's a little more complicated, but he's more right than wrong. A wormhole mouth is a sphere floating freely in space, a three-dimensional excision. If we succeed with the expansion, for the first time we'll be able to see our wormhole mouth, with a hand lens anyhow.
The countdown clock was down to a single digit. David said,
Heads up, everybody. Here we go.
The ripples of conversation in the room died away, and everyone turned to the digital clock. The count reached zero, and nothing happened. There were events, of course. The track counter racked up a respectable score, showing heavy and energetic particles passing through the detector array, the debris of an exploded wormhole. The array's pixel elements, each firing individually as a particle passed through them, could later be used to trace the paths of debris fragments in three dimensions, paths which could then be reconstructed and analyzed. Lots of data, lots of good science, but the big wall soft screen remained blank. No signal. David suppressed a sigh. He opened up the logbook and entered details of the run in his round, neat hand. Around him, his technicians began equipment diagnostics. Hiram looked into David's face, at the empty screen, at the technicians.
Is that it? Did it work?
Bobby touched his father's shoulder.
Even I can tell it didn't, Dad.
He pointed to the prime number test sequence. It had frozen on 13.
Unlucky 13, murmured Bobby.
Is he right? David, did you screw up again?
This wasn't a failure, just another test. You don't understand science, Father. Now, when we run the analysis and learn from this...
Jesus Christ on a bike! I should have left you rotting in bloody Oxford. Call me when you have something.
Hiram, shaking his head, stalked from the room. When he left, the feeling of relief in the room was palpable. The technicians, silver-haired particle physicists all, many of them older than Hiram, some of them with distinguished careers beyond our world, started to file out. When they had gone, David sat before a soft screen to begin his own follow-up work. He brought up his favorite desktop metaphor. It was like a window into a cluttered study, with books and documents piled in untidy heaps on the floor and shelves and tables, and with complex particle decay models hanging like mobiles from the ceiling. When he looked around the room, the point at the focus of his attention expanded, opening out more detail. The rest of the room blurring to a background wash. He could pick up documents and models with a fingertip, rummaging until he found what he wanted, exactly where he had left it last time. First, he had to check for detector pixel faults. He began passing the vertex detector traces into the analog signal bus and then pulled out a blow-up overview of various detector slabs. There were always random failures of pixels when some especially powerful particle hit a detector element, But though some of the detectors had suffered enough radiation damage to require replacement, there was nothing serious for now.